Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Yeah, breaking news on The Savage Nation. Bergdahl to be charged with desertion, according to the Defense Department. Welcome to The Savage Nation. Do you remember the Bergdahl case? Do you remember we all suspected he was a deserter? Do you remember his own platoon mates said he was a deserter? Do you remember four men died trying to rescue him? Do you remember how Obama lauded him? Do you remember how Susan Rice lauded him? Do you remember the outrage at the time? Well, Bergdahl is now being charged with desertion. And the question today is, if Obama couldn't even get that right, what else is he getting wrong? How about the war against the Islamo-fascists raging around the world where he refuses to lift a finger? They could have been wiped out into Crete. He didn't use the U.S. Air Force. At the same time that he is diminishing the U.S. military, he is permitting the Islamo-fascists to rise. So explain to me, please, do you feel Obama has gutted the military on purpose? No, of course not. He's a loyal American. He loves America. He just knows how to do it the liberal way, which is the better way, which is the peacenik way. Are you sure of that? Are you sure you haven't watched the show Homeland sufficient to understand that occasionally along comes someone who has not the American interests at heart? Is that possible? Oh, no, you right-wing nuts. You have it all wrong. You're a bunch of racists. How dare you say that about the greatest American since George Washington? Well, let's go back to the Bergdahl fanfare, if you recall. And we'll start with Susan Rice, the most incompetent liar. Well, I should say the most competent liar we have, lauding Bergdahl upon his release despite the protestations of his own platoon mates. Listen.
He served the United States with honor and distinction, and we'll have the opportunity eventually to learn what has transpired in the past years. But what's most important now
is his health and well-being,
that he have the opportunity to recover in peace and security and be reunited with his family.
You ought to be reunited with your cohorts, wherever they may be. Resign today, Susan Rice. But it gets worse. Do you remember Bergdahl's father with the big beard? We all suspected that he had converted to Islam, which unto itself is not a crime, of course. But combined with this combination deal, the combination plate of the allegedly deserter son, we suspected something was wrong. I mean, we do have common sense. We're not a bunch of morons who waited for the Messiah to arrive to give us the ability to think. We couldn't think until the genius arrived on the scene. We couldn't think. We couldn't even arrange flowers until Michelle Obama arrived in the outhouse there, the White House. I've never seen anything like this. How he gets away with it is beyond not you. It's not beyond me either. It's beyond comprehension. Any other president would have been impeached by now. This is an outrage. Yes, he got this wrong. Oh, it's just a mistake, Michael Savage. Any president can make a mistake, especially any president that is so Islamophilic as Barack Obama. That's a very big word. Islamophilia. Islamophilic. Never heard that one, have you? Didn't get that one in grade school. Didn't get that one in high school. Didn't get that one in college. We have a president who is bordering not on Islamophilia, but something much worse than that. Now we have the king of all sound bites. Well, no, we didn't get to the king. We went from the queen of sound bites on Bergdahl. We're going to go now to the prince of the Bergdahl sound bites. Let us go now to the father on the announcement in the Rose Garden way back when.
I'd like to say to Bo right now, who's having trouble speaking English, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Zayabayem. I'm your father, Bo.
All right, that's the end of it. That should have done it. Bingo. Bingo. MPs, arrest them all on the site. The minute he gave the Arabic statement, you know what he was doing. He was sending a coded message to the people who had brainwashed his son. The whole family should be investigated. What are you talking about? Are you that dumb? Yeah, of course you're that dumb. I forgot. I'm sorry. It's spring break. You're focused on Harvey Weinstein's latest violence project. You're focused on Sean Penn's latest violent movie. I don't know what you're focused on. I'm not focused on it. Army charging Bo Bergdahl with desertion. The bigger question here is, how did they dare stand up to the most questionable commander-in-chief in American history? How is this possible? How did the U.S. Army manage to break ranks with this commander-in-chief of ours who had nothing but glowing words around the release of Bo Bergdahl? You remember who this guy is? U.S. soldier held captive by the Taliban in Afghanistan for nearly 5 years, was freed. You didn't watch the show Homeland? You didn't know who he was? Huh? You didn't know who he was? I knew who he was. How did I know who he was? Well, his platoon mates told us who he was. That was A. Number two, the father speaking in Arabic with coded language told us. Number three, anyone with common sense would say something stinks to high heaven. And so we now go to the king of all soundbites. Here is your commander-in-chief on the day he released this traitor. Listen.
His parents thought about him and prayed for him every single day, as did his sister Sky, who prayed for his safe return. He wasn't forgotten by his community in Idaho or the military, which rallied to support the Bergdahls through thick and thin. And he wasn't forgotten by his country, because the United States of America does not ever leave our men and women in uniform behind.
No, certainly when they're traitors, and if you're an Islamophilic, you don't leave them behind. You leave the others behind. You leave behind preachers who preach the gospel of Jesus. You stab them in the back by setting them up with gay sub-officers who engage them and entrap them, as is going on right now with a heroic Navy chaplain, an ex-Navy SEAL, who they wouldn't even permit to deliver services to a fallen comrade. That's how psychotic the military has become under this great commander-in-chief. So I'm going to ask you again, did you hear the news? You're in Michigan Stadium in Ann Arbor with 109,000 other people. Now triple that. That's the number of people listening to Michael Savage right now in America. And we don't know how many are listening around the world. Breaking news, Army charging Bo Bergdahl, glorified by Obama and Susan Rice, with desertion. The real question is, how did the military get the cojones to break away from this commander-in-chief of theirs? How did they find the ability to do this? I don't understand this. Obama purges anyone who stands up to him. He purges them. He throws them out of the military the way Stalin did. Well, Stalin shot them. Excuse me. Pardon me. Stalin shot his generals. Obama just smears them and throws them out. This development comes nearly 1 year after Bergdahl's May 14 release, which was a joyous occasion, with his family joining Barack Hussein Obama in celebrating the news of his release in the Rose Garden. But as you well know, that led to controversy, as Mr. Bergdahl, traitor, was accused of putting his fellow soldiers in danger by abandoning his post 5 years earlier. But worse than that, Barack Hussein Obama traded five hardened Taliban generals for his freedom, which raised deep concerns amongst patriots on Capitol Hill that the administration struck an unbalanced deal. Now, the military plans to address this case this afternoon at Fort Bragg in North Carolina, and we on the Savage Nation have our microphones ready there because we're going to find out what exactly transpired. I want to know how this happened. I want to know how he will be specifically charged with desertion and misbehavior towards the enemy. A senior U.S. official has told Fox News he'll face a court-martial and likely a trial. He should be shot, by the way, if found guilty. He should face a public execution. You see, Bergdahl wasn't captured randomly. Bergdahl walked away from his post in Afghanistan, which is a martial offense in the military. He was captured. Some said no, he wasn't captured. He abandoned his post to join his comrades. And then he was released by the Taliban in the controversial prisoner exchange. General Mark Milley, head of the U.S. Army Forces Command at Fort Bragg, has been reviewing the massive case files. And he had a large, large possibility of legal options, including various degrees of desertion charges. Now, a major consideration in this case was whether military officials will be able to prove that Bergdahl had no intention of returning to his unit. That's a key element in the more serious desertion charges. Now, you got to understand, this is a major league announcement. It's a terrible black eye for the commander-in-chief. It marks a terrible turnaround for the administration's narrative of Bergdahl's service and release, because if you remember, Susan Rice, our so-called national security advisor, who must resign immediately, said that he served with honor and distinction. Are you listening? This man, this Bergdahl, disappeared from his base in the eastern Afghanistan province of Paktika on June 30th, 09. He was only a PFC at the time. 3 days earlier, had emailed his parents saying he was disillusioned with the war. Are you listening to me carefully? Here is what this traitorous piece of garbage said to his parents in an email. He said, the future is too good to waste on lies, and life is way too short to care for the damnation of others, as well as to spend it helping fools with their ideas that are wrong. I have seen their ideas, and I am ashamed to even be an American. That's a man in uniform. Are you listening? Bob Bergdahl, his father, a former UPS delivery driver in Sun Valley, Idaho, then replied with a message bearing the subject line, obey your conscience. What happened next? Bergdahl left a note in his tent which said he was leaving to start a new life and he intended to renounce his citizenship. So that means he abandoned his post. Prima facie evidence. Traitor, shoot him. Firing squad, trial, firing squad, public execution. Because for the next 5 years, he was working with the Taliban. And do you know how many men died as a result of him? You know how many American service members' lives were lost in the hunt for this piece of garbage? A Pentagon probe concluded in 2010 that Bergdahl had walked away from his base, indeed. But it stopped short of accusing him of desertion. Apparently, at that point, the military was still afraid of the commander in grief. While in captivity, it gets even worse. Are you ready for this one? Bergdahl, traitor, was promoted to sergeant. Wait, it gets even better. And had accrued more than $200,000 in back pay by the time he was freed. Yes, you paid him $200,000 for becoming a part of the enemy force. After his return, Obama assigned him to duty at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio. Are you listening to me? There's your story of the day. Now let's go back to Susan Rice on the date of his release. Listen carefully and tell me if I'm wrong when I say she must resign immediately. Listen.
He served the United States with honor and distinction, and we'll have the opportunity eventually to learn what has transpired in the past years. But what's most important now is his health and well-being, that he have the opportunity to recover in peace and security and be reunited with his family.
Now you know why we're losing the war on terror, the sorority. The sorority around Obama is the most duplicitous bunch of incompetent, lying, anti-American punks I've ever seen in my life. You understand what I'm saying to you? Do you have any idea how serious this is? Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand at the same time he's gutting the U.S. military, he's permitting the Islamo-fascist ISIS organization to rage across the Middle East, killing, murdering, raping, kidnapping with impunity? This is Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. It's a very dark day in American history, but the sun is shining, and so therefore we have the right to talk about this until things get even worse, and the, believe me, worse they will get under this most duplicitous regime the American world has ever experienced. How he gets away with this is not beyond my comprehension. It is because of the fellow travelers in the media and the fellow travelers in the government media complex. That's one man's opinion. I'm open to your opinion. And yesterday I said to you that my AQH, my average quarter hour, was larger than the number of people who could sit in the Yankee Stadium. Remember that? Well, Yankee Stadium only holds 50,000 people in the Bronx. Michigan Stadium in Ann Arbor is the number one capacity of all stadiums in America with 109,000 people. So now I want you to picture yourself amongst the group three times larger than those in Michigan Stadium at capacity. And now you'll have an idea of how large the Savage Nation is. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. Savage Nation. So we learned today that some officers on the military tribunal have taken the risk of daring to stand up to the duplicitous administration, and to today charge Bergdahl, charge him with desertion. You hearing me? Now you have to ask yourself a question and put two and two together. Follow the bouncing ball. Obama gets this traitor back, despite the protestations of those in the military who served with him. They knew he deserted. They said he deserted. He obviously deserted. The emails show he deserted. Obama reaches out to get back a deserter, and he gives up five of the most dangerous Taliban commanders in U.S. custody. And I will read you some. The names don't mean anything. I'm just going to tell you who they are. Mullah Muhammad Fazil, Taliban Army Chief of Staff. Do you know how big that is? Do you know how big a Chief of Staff is in a terrorist movement? That means he has the brains to organize an army. Chief of Staff of Taliban. Okay? Mullah Nuryullah Nuri, Senior Taliban Military Commander, who was also wanted by the UN for possible war crimes, including the murder of thousands of Shiite Muslims. A Deputy Minister of Intelligence, etc. Big guys. The entire senior command of the Taliban were released for Bergdahl. What happened shortly after their release? Michael Savage will tell you. Don't expect to hear it from the chorus line. Don't expect to hear it from Martha Washington until it comes out of my mouth. Don't expect to hear it from Martha Washington's cohorts. What happened was ISIS then proliferated. Obama released these five senior commanders. ISIS then proliferated because they had their command structure back. And now we are facing the rise of the Islamo-Nazi fascist movement. It doesn't matter how you phrase it. Do you understand what's going on? Put two and two together. Follow the bouncing traitor. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Listen to the conference now that's going on about whatever his name is. Let's hear it. Come on.
Our potential punishments associated with the two charges. Article 85 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, desertion with intention to shirk important or hazardous duty, carries a maximum potential punishment of a dishonorable discharge, reduction to the rank of E1, total forfeiture of all pay and allowances, and a maximum confinement of 5 years.
Well, he'll go right into the Obama administration. He'll work
Article
for the
99
DNC.
Of the Uniform
with that
Code
curriculum
of
vitae, he's perfect for the DNC.
Behavior before the enemy by endangering the safety of the
command. Oh, he should be Secretary of the Army after this.
Carries a maximum potential penalty.
Oh, yeah.
Of a dishonorable discharge.
An immediate appointment to the National Security Agency under Susan Rice.
Total forfeiture of all pay and allowances and possible confinement for life. The specific legal elements associated with Article 85 and Article 99 are available within the written statement provided to you here today.
We're listening in on the biggest story of the, I don't know, is the biggest scandal now? How many are there? Stack them up. They're like jets at O'Hare during a snowstorm.
While legal not,
who can keep up with what Obama's doing to us?
Out of respect for the judicial process.
All right, let's cut it off right now. You're listening to a major league story. There are two elements that make it major league. One, because it exonerates his teammates who said he was a deserter. They were attacked by the vermin in the media. That's number one. Number two, it shows you Susan Rice is unfit to be National Security Advisor and explains why ISIS is raging across the globe. Number three, it shows you Obama is unfit to be Commander-in-Chief and should be relieved of that duty immediately. Yeah, right. Live in a dream world. Go ahead. Live in a dream world. Your system really works well. He's being charged with desertion, but here's the bigger story. The officers who are doing this have sidestepped Obama, who is going to go berserk. He is going to seek retribution against these guys that'll make his retribution against Netanyahu look like child's play. Jeannie, on the internet, welcome to the Savage Nation. Your opinion, go ahead, please.
Well, sir, I come from four generations of U.S. Army officers, and all I can say is I bet all those officers at Fort Bragg just cut their military careers short.
Yes, but why would they risk their careers to do this when they know it was the right thing to do? The answer is because they put country above career.
That is correct. And I remember when you had on Lieutenant Michael Behena's mother, and I contributed to that, and he never got pardoned by any president. But don't you know, Bergdahl, if he goes into prison, don't you know that somebody, Obama, might pardon this jerk?
No, nobody would permit that.
I hope not. not.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Obama just said last week he's going to use his pardon powers more often. Maybe he saw this coming.
Yeah, I saw that, and I thought... Oh,
well, Jeannie, okay. If you've been... Look, you know, your mind can easily assume Obama's a traitor and playing the other team. I mean, your mind can logically conclude that. Any rational person who's gone to one movie in his life or read one book can say, well, there are a possibility of a traitor here in the White House, but we're not allowed to even think it?
I think it every day.
No, we're not allowed to think it. I think it's illegal to think that. Doesn't that make you a psychotic and a racist?
No, not at all. And neither you either.
Well, I'm telling you, these things are getting worse by the day. All right, let's go to San Francisco, where, of course, you'd expect a whack job. Larry on KSFO, go ahead, make your point.
Okay, Michael, good afternoon.
No, don't give me the good afternoon. Please, we're not friends. We don't know each other. Make your point.
Okay, I disagree with your comments about Bo's father, because I personally know the pastor friend of Bo's father, and apparently he's a devout Christian, and that's all I wanted to say.
Well, they raised a traitor. They did a very good job on raising a traitor, I'll say that.
Well, I can only say that maybe Bo felt, you know, his conscience felt that...
like a good San Franciscan. In other words, shoot his own officers in the back. What if his conscience told him to shoot an officer in the back and frag him? Would that have been the right liberal thing to do?
No, sir. I'm just saying that both...
Well, since he joined the enemy because his lovely liberal conscience told him to do so, why doesn't he stay with the enemy? Why doesn't he go join ISIS now?
Well, Bo, I'm sorry, Michael. I don't know. You know.
Of course you don't know anything. I'm glad you're trying to figure it out, though, because I figured it out for you. That's all. Thank you for the call. And good night. Good night. 855-400-7282. Let's go to WABC. Angelo, how do you see this game?
Hey, Dr. Savage. I think the Obama administration is the most open administration. The problem is the majority of the people cannot see, or they don't care to see. He's doing this right in our face. I believe he did this to get some people, those killers out of Guantanamo. And he said, okay, we'll wait a year and we'll let them out. And they do it right in the American people's face. He revels in it. I think they enjoy themselves doing it.
I see that as well. He does love sticking fingers in people's faces. I get that. How can he get away with it, though, Angelo, if it's so overt?
Because the majority of the people are got their face in their phones or they're just not paying attention. I eat my heart out with this stuff. And, sometimes I turn it off, but I just keep going back to it because I just have to watch my enemy and see what he's doing.
I don't understand it. I see the same thing, but we're not alone, Angelo.
Well, it's good to know. It's great to know because I'll tell you, every day I wake up.
I would say that if ever anyone even had a scintilla of a question as to whether Obama was doing the right thing by this country and by the military itself, this should end that discussion.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is it. Even if he did it, let's say he did it by accident because he's just an idealistic young man and a good liberal. Let's say he did it by accident. He meant well. He gave the man the benefit of the doubt. And he did anything to get the man back. Then that judgment shows he's unfit for command, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
All right, so anybody who has that level of stupidity gets fired in the real world, don't they?
Absolutely.
If a corporate head made a mistake like that, would he last in the corporation? They throw him out as faster than you could say Barack Hussein Obama.
Oh, he'd be gone. Absolutely.
They'd give him a golden parachute and say, I said last week, can't we raise $100 million for him and ask him to quit before he destroys the country altogether? Can't we just give him $100 million when people raise a dollar apiece from 100 million people? And we give him $100 million if he leaves immediately. I don't think he would take it. I think he's having too much fun wrecking this greatest nation of ours, this great nation of ours. He is doing it right to our face. I agree with you. He loves to get in people's faces. You know, this is on one level a laughing matter. On the other hand, it's now reached a saturation point where it's no longer a laughing matter. Because let me repeat what I said, Angelo, and I know you'd agree with me. He released five of the most dangerous Taliban commanders in U.S. custody in exchange for this traitor, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. What happened soon thereafter, as I explained in the last segment on the show? These commanders who know how to run a military operation, they went and they organized ISIS into the killing force that it now is. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
Now, at the same time this is happening, Obama refuses to use the military, meaning the Air Force, against them. Why is that?
It's unexplained.
No, just say it. Say it. Why won't he use the Air Force to take them out? They were surrounding, they were fighting in Tikrit last week or 2 weeks ago, and Obama had the capacity to order the Air Force to decimate them. They could have used cluster bombs, they could have used tank killers, they could have used a lot of different weaponry and wiped most of them out and make them flee, but he didn't do it. As a result, they drove the Iraqi army and the U.S. advisors out of Tikrit. So Obama, therefore, by not using the Air Force, has permitted them to metastasize again. If that is by accident, because he's either too timid or he's a liberal and doesn't want to use too much force, again, he should be struck from the command.
I totally agreed.
All right, how else do you deal with this? I would like to see a court-martial brought against Obama as commander-in-chief for this.
Oh, I would...
There are four men who died looking for this piece of garbage. You're aware of that, aren't you, Angelo? Four men died who were sent out to find this piece of trash.
Disgusting.
Okay, well, look, I could scream from now until whenever they say. KSFO, Jim, go ahead, please. What is your main point here? I don't get it.
So what I'm saying is kind of what the last caller was saying, is that he let Bird Dog go, and I'm calling him Bird Dog, because the five Taliban commanders got out, and they're not going to go back into jail when Bird Dog is found guilty. And then Obama can say, see, we followed the court of law, military justice, and he was found guilty, blah, blah, blah. But meanwhile, the five Taliban commanders are back and organizing and, you know, made ISIS a...
But in either case, doesn't this make Obama a faulty commander-in-chief?
No doubt about this. And let me say one more thing, Uncle Savage. You know what? He's doing this so Iran can get a nuclear weapon. Because you know what? You keep your eye on the ball. The ball is ISIS. But meanwhile, the real ball is Iran. And nothing's being done. That's what I think. That's what I believe.
All right, Jim. See, the average man is capable of thinking despite what the government media complex would like you to believe. The average man in America is not so average. Never forget that it was the fathers and grandfathers of this called average American man who built this nation, and it was the fathers and grandfathers of the so-called average American man who defeated Hitler's Superman. But now we face an enemy even more cagey than the Nazis. And you know how clever this enemy is? This enemy is so clever that he can get away with things like this and call anyone who criticizes him every name under the sun. Is it possible? I'm a fan of fiction. I watched that HBO series for years called Homeland. If you don't get HBO, it was a very simple storyline, which, by the way, they've been forced to change now. The enemy is no longer a hidden Muslim in Congress. It's now a white a racist. They've been forced to change it as a result of the vermin in the media. The Salenterites in the media. The storyline is simple, and it predated Bergdahl. A U.S. Army person was captured. They converted him to Islam. He became an operative of the Islamic terrorists. They release him. He comes back to America, and he's a hero, lauded as a hero. Hometown boy survived it. He runs for office. He becomes a U.S. congressman. And all along, there are suspicions by one agent in the CIA that he's a double agent. And she is called insane. She's put on drugs. They give her shock therapy, but she was right all along. Now, you say it's fiction, and you say it can't happen here. But what if it's happened here on a much higher level? I'm asking you a question. Let us say it's even higher than being an Islamophilic. Big word, isn't it? Islamophilic. Five syllables. Now, the average American who listens to rap music cannot handle more than two syllables. So if anything occurs in more than two syllables, they don't even understand it. But an Islamophilic could be in the White House, correct? And he could love America and be an Islamophilic president, right? And he can make one mistake after another because of his blinded eyes, because of his Islamophilia. Let's say he's not a traitor. Let's say he's just stupid. Let's say he's a mean, stupid Islamophilic in the White House. and he makes one mistake after another, and everyone gives him a pass, because the worst nightmare for the liberal establishment would be to say he's not as smart as we said. He's not the brightest man on earth. He's not smarter than George Bush just because he's more glib. They can't do that. But it could even be worse than that. But that doesn't matter. What matters is what happened. What matters is he made the greatest mistake of any military commander could make. He erred on the side of the enemy, not on the side of truth. And therefore, he has committed a grave crime. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
The U.S. Army Forces Command has thoroughly reviewed the Army's investigation surrounding Sergeant Robert Beaudry Bergdahl's 2009 disappearance in Afghanistan, and formally charged Sergeant Bergdahl under the Armed Forces Uniform Code of Military Justice on March 25, 2015, with desertion, with intent to shirk important or hazardous duty, and misbehavior before the enemy by endangering the safety of a command, unit, or place, and has referred the case to an Article 32 preliminary hearing.
He served the United States with honor and distinction, and we'll have the opportunity eventually to learn what has transpired in the past years. But what's most important now is his health and well-being, that he have the opportunity to recover in peace and security and be reunited with his family.
I rest my case. Let's take the paranoid side of the equation out of the discussion and say that Susan Rice and Barack Obama are the most sterling, patriotic individuals that have ever, ever occupied those offices, both as commander-in-chief and as national security advisor. We have never been in better hands, but they made a mistake. They misjudged. Their judgment is faulty. They judged wrongly. They judged on the side of the enemy, and they made a trade that has been disastrous for America and the world. They released five battlefield generals who then went out and permitted ISIS to proliferate because the new command, a new command structure had been released from prison in trade for this piece of garbage. And four men died looking for him. These men were forced to go look for him. Did you know that? There's an interesting article, "We Lost Soldiers in the Hunt for Bergdahl, a guy who walked off in the dead of the night." It was written by Nathan Bradley Bethea, who served with him. It was published in the Daily Beast back in June of 14. And he finally said what he could say. He said what happened. He was with him. Five-year-old story. They weren't allowed to talk. They were told to dummy up. They were all in the same unit. 1st Battalion, 501st Parachute Infantry Regiment. Bergdahl was a brave kid. He was a paratrooper. But apparently his brain had been washed by something, and he went to join the enemy. He didn't just leave. He deserted. He wasn't captured in a military engagement. On the night prior to his capture, Bergdahl pulled guard duty at a small outpost about 2 hours south of the provincial capital. The base resembled a wagon circle of armored vehicles with some razor wire strung around them. There was a guard tower, but the outpost was not a fortress, and soldiers were sleeping in poncho tents or inside their vehicles. The next morning, Bergdahl failed to show for the morning roll call. I'll tell you more about what this SOB did and why the commander-in-chief must be held responsible for this lack of judgment or misjudgment on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The U.S. Army Forces Command has thoroughly reviewed the Army's investigation surrounding Sergeant Robert Beaudry Bergdahl's 2009 disappearance in Afghanistan, and formally charged Sergeant Bergdahl under the Armed Forces Uniform Code of Military Justice on March 25, 2015, with desertion, with intent to shirk important or hazardous duty, and misbehavior before the enemy by endangering the safety of a command, unit, or place, and has referred the case to an Article 32 preliminary hearing.
His parents thought about him and prayed for him every single day, as did his sister Skye, who prayed for his safe return. He wasn't forgotten by his community in Idaho or the military, which rallied to support the Bergdahls through thick and thin. And he wasn't forgotten by his country, because the United States of America does not ever leave our men and women in uniform behind.
He served the United States with honor and distinction, and we'll have the opportunity eventually to learn what has transpired in the past years, but what's most important now is his health and well-being, that he have the opportunity to recover in peace and security and be reunited with his family.
Turn it off. I'm going to cut off the rhetoric. Fox News is still making the mistaken headline that he was captured. That's Fox News, yeah. Martha Washington's channel. Roger Ailes' chorus line. They're still reporting that Bergdahl was captured. He wasn't captured. He walked away from his duties and walked into the enemy camp. It's called, he's a traitor. Now, the real question here is, how is Obama going to get a slip out of this one? How is he going to slip out of this noose, I'd like to know? He said he was a great man and a hero, release him, and he gave away five generals, then went out and set up ISIS. ISIS is now raging across the planet. So again, we take away the rhetoric of traitor of Obama. We don't say he's working for the enemy. Let's just cut that side of it off, even though I'm not so sure of that anymore. But let's say that's not rational. It could never happen that a man as loyal to America his entire life, a man who sat through the most anti-American church in American history, a man who was associated with a murderer, a man who was raised on anti-American philosophies, could never, ever, ever work for the enemy. Let's just cut that right out. He's just a good, progressive American who loves America and just sees a different vision for it. But he judged wrongly, didn't he? Let's just say that he judged wrongly. Therefore, he's unfit for command. This mistake alone, which is naked for everyone to see, indicates Obama is unfit for command as commander-in-chief. After all, he could have said, wait a minute, I can't release these five Taliban. They're generals. They're liable to go out and cause a lot of damage. I can't trade them for Bergdahl. Bergdahl's just a private first class. Oh, you mean no American left behind? How come he left Behenna behind, rotting in a prison? How come he left some other men that I raised money for? How can we let them rot in prison, the ones who actually kill Muslim enemies? How can we let those who kill Muslim enemies rot in prison? And he releases five generals who go out and permit ISIS to metastasize. How is that possible? Bergdahl wasn't captured. Bergdahl abandoned his unit. On the morning roll call, they found his rifle, helmet, body armor, and web gear in a neat stack. He had taken only his compass. Daily Beast Christopher Dickey later wrote that whether Bergdahl just walked away from his base and was lagging behind on a patrol at the time his captured remains an open, fiercely debated question, close quote. But to the members who served with this POS, they said, no, not to us. Make no mistake, Bergdahl did not lag behind on a patrol, as was cited in news reports at the time. There was no patrol that night. Bergdahl was relieved from guard duty, and instead of going to sleep, he fled the outpost on foot. He deserted. This is from someone who served with this POS. And the man said, I talked to members of Bergdahl's platoon, including the last Americans to see him before his capture. Here's what happened. And there's a whole story about it. He walked away. He disappeared. Then they sent men out. They sent helicopters out, search teams, trying to scour villages for signs of this POS. Multiple platoons, working dogs, professional anthropologists, used intelligence gathering teams, Afghan sources in disguise, risked their lives for this piece of garbage from Idaho. Some of these brave men were on mission for 10 days at a stretch. at a time when temperature was well above 100 degrees each day. They searched one village after another. They took rifle and mortar fire from insurgents. They intimately received resupply from soot-coated MI-17s piloted by Russian contractors. Did you know that? Many of whom were Soviet veterans of Afghanistan. Did you know that? Now they're our enemy, these Soviets. Thanks to Obama, he's turned our allies into our enemies. It was filthy, dirty, hard, dangerous work. It enraged the local civilian population. It derailed counterinsurgency operations taking place at the time. That's what we're reading right now from a man who served with this POS, who says this: the war was already absurd and quixotic, but the hunt for Bergdahl was even more infuriating because it was all the result of some kid doing something unnecessary by his own volition. You get the picture, right? Men died looking for this human waste. Men died looking for this human waste. And now we see what happened because of the misjudgment by the commander-in-chief. There's no joke here. There's no explaining it away. Susan Rice should resign immediately. If we had a Republican Party, she'd resign. If we had a true Republican Party, there'd be an immediate hearing. Not 3 months from now, tomorrow. It would be assembled overnight, and it would be held. And by the way, Dianne Feinstein should be thrown off the Senate Intelligence Committee. She is the most... Oh, don't get me started on her. She undermined the CIA at a time when we needed the CIA more than ever. And she sits there now like the Queen of Diamonds, continuing her duplicitous assignments, one after the other, without a single question from the Republican Party, the alleged opposition party. Now, I may not blame them as much. Maybe they're so overwhelmed by the scandals and trying to fix the mess that this administration has and is causing that they have no time. They can't keep up with it, which is part of Obama's tactics. You see, I've worked in business for most of my life, and I've had good partners, as I do now, and I've had evil partners. I've had evil partners who use tactics very much like this. When you catch them stealing from you, what they do is they set up little operations to throw you off the track. They accuse you of things you didn't do. They set up false little games for you to fight at, to come at, and they continue to rob you. It's called a distraction. That's how you distract your enemy. And when you have dishonest people in business, they do that. And when you have dishonest people in warfare, which you, of course, you always are going to have dishonest people in warfare, especially Islamics, they're all dishonest if they're your enemy. They're going to use every tactic known to mankind to deceive you. Decoys, you name it. And if you're not smart enough to play the game, you have no reason to be the commander-in-chief. And if we had a legitimate structure in place, he would be called on the carpet for this. By the way, Bergdahl was not the first American soldier in history to walk away blindly. It's happened before, incidentally, many. It happened in Vietnam, and they were caught afterwards, court-martialed, and they were given 30 days confinement and dishonorable discharge. They were never shot. Can you believe this? This is in the Vietnam War. Some think that Bergdahl deserves sympathy, but some don't. Some think he doesn't deserve sympathy. What do you expect? What do you think? How do you feel about this? How do you feel about this? How do you feel about Obama having gotten this so wrong that he released five major Taliban generals who have gone out and created ISIS? How do you feel about that? Don't you think Obama should be court-martialed? See, the issue is not Bergdahl. The issue is Obama. That's who should be court-martialed. Sure. Sure, by the same military that permits the military to be decimated. How do you feel about this? Let's take Chuck on KSFO. Chuck, fire away right now on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael. Thanks for having me on. So you know, that caller that called talked to you before about Bergdahl's preacher, you know, being a preacher. I'm like, hold on, wait a minute. Preacher's Christian. This guy obviously said when his parents were right there with Obama when they got the announcement, you know, they're saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which is basically exclusively an Islamic phrase. The man's not Christian. He's not Jewish. He's not atheist. He's Muslim. He's Islamic.
Why did Bergdahl's father find it necessary to speak in Arabic before the world when his son had just been traded for five Taliban commanders is the question. What was he saying to the Taliban and to the Muslim terrorists at large? What was he saying to them?
He was saying, hey, my Nazi friends out there, we've won. We've beaten the U.S. We've beaten the...
Let's listen in again on Bergdahl's father in the Rose Garden insulting all those laying in military cemeteries around the world. Listen to this.
I'd like to say to Bo right now, who's having trouble speaking English, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Zayabayem. I'm your father, Bo.
Okay, it sounds benign, doesn't it? Is there an Arabic speaker in the Savage Nation audience which tops 300,000 any 15 minutes? It's millions every week. It's millions of people every week. That's called the cumulative audience. No one really knows what the audience is, but the AQH is a more fitting determinant, and it's over 300,000 people every 15 minutes tune into this show. That's three times larger than the largest football stadium in America. That's the crowd that's listening to this show. So don't assume it's a marginal show just because I'm not allowed on Roger Ailes' chorus line. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
He served the United States with honor and distinction, and we'll have the opportunity eventually to learn what has transpired in the past years. But what's most important now...
National Security Advisor Susan Rice said he served the nation with honor and distinction, and now he's charged with desertion. His own platoon mates said that he had deserted. Does that not tell you that Susan Rice is incapable of being National Security Advisor? If she can misjudge this, how can she judge the dangers of ISIS? How can she judge the relative non-danger of Russia? Don't you understand that they have everything wrong? They've turned Russia into our enemy, and ISIS does not even exist. They're the JV team. And Bergdahl was a hero. This is the Savage Nation. This is one man's opinion. You don't have to agree with me. I'm sure many of you do, but some of you don't know what's going on. You have no idea. Let's go to the callers. WABC, Marty, fire away. Your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. Obama did exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted a way of releasing those guys from Gitmo, and he did, using Bergdahl. And it's just...
Did you get it or not? Yeah, good. Okay, good. Very good. We can't use racially incendiary statements to make our point because it undermines our point. It doesn't matter what his race is. What matters is his policies. That's what matters. I wouldn't care if there was a transvestite in the White House, if he was competent. I wouldn't care if he wore a dress and high heels if he loved America and put America first. I wouldn't care if he was a transsexual who was smart and loved this country. Do you understand what I just said to you? I don't give a darn what somebody does in their personal life, as long as they leave children alone and it's legal. I don't care. What I care about is this level of duplicitousness and this level of treason, approaching treason, if not exceeding the question of treason, on an almost weekly basis. And so what are we going to do about it? Answer, nothing. Move along. There's nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Now, you could dismiss this story if you wish, but do so at your own risk. You have Dianne Feinstein in the Senate Intelligence Committee who's not doing her job. You have the National Security Advisor not doing her job. You have the head of the CIA not doing his job. You have the president not doing his job or not doing their jobs correctly, not seeing the danger that we're in. So what do we, the people, do? There are over 300 million of us. What do we do? This reminds me of what happened to China during the Mandarin Age. When a few hundred people with long fingernails, called the Mandarins, ruled the ancient nation of China with a fascistic grip. They didn't move their bodies. Their fingernails grew long. They didn't do manual labor. They hated the average Chinese person. And they destroyed China, which had been a prosperous, industrious, inventive nation prior to the advent of the Mandarins. And the Mandarins, sitting up there in their perches, look down upon the peasants. We now are ruled by a group of Mandarins, 400 Mandarins, with the exception of the few young Turks called the Tea Party contingent. The Mandarins are the reason we're dying as a nation. So you say, well, what can I do about it? That's a topic for another day. But you're not alone in your suspicion of what's going on. Incidentally, you're not going to read this in your local paper, but the Talkers Magazine Heavy 100 came out for 2015. And I'm pleased to say to you that I am number four, with Glenn Beck at number five and others dropping behind him. It's funny, Howard Stern is only number seven. He used to be a giant. There are others on the list, honestly, I never heard of, who are probably very good talkers, but I really don't know who they are. And some of them are very well known, but I never heard of them. And I wish them all luck, but I didn't do the ratings. On the internet, in terms of streaming radio, the show is number one with a 25 share. Rush Limbaugh is number two with a 12 share. But right now, I'm very happy to tell you that aside from a, Rush is number one. He's got the biggest show. Hannity is two. He was there before I was in this big market. And number three is a guy, truthfully, that they pay for their time, I think. But Savage is number four on Talkers.com. Glenn Beck is five. And then there's people I've never heard of beyond him, lawyers and whatnot. Howard Stern is number seven. And so on. They're very good people, but I'm just giving the ratings. I mean, why am I giving the ratings? Two reasons. One, I want you to know about them. And two, I want you to understand that the audience that you're sitting in, the over 300,000 every quarter hour, is a significantly large and influential audience. It's not a marginal audience just because you don't read about it in the Wall Street Journal, owned by Murdoch. I am blacklisted. I am blacklisted in all of Murdoch's enterprises for reasons I can never understand. I think I know why, but I don't want to go into it. Doesn't matter to me. Thank God you listen. Bergdahl charged with desertion. Do you feel Obama should be charged with what?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
Oh, right now, who's having trouble speaking English? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Zayabayim. I'm your father, Bo.
His parents thought about him and prayed for him every single day, as did his sister, Sky, who Robert prayed for his safe return. He wasn't forgotten by his community in Idaho or the military, which rallied to support the Bergdahls through thick and thin. And he wasn't forgotten by his country, because the United States of America does not ever leave our men and women in uniform behind.
Liar. Liar. You left plenty behind. Those who actually killed the Muslim terrorist who got court-martialed, those you left behind. But those who ran over to the enemy side, that you don't leave behind. The only question now is, now that this scandal has blown up in Obama and Susan Rice's face, is which government jester's show will they go on to laugh this away? Will it be John Screwball Stewart's show? Will it be Bill Nightmare's show? Will he go on Al Jazeera? Will he go on Black Entertainment Television and talk about basketball and talk about how some folks out there are trying to claim that I'm actually working for the enemy? You know, get real folksy about it. Some folks out there are actually accusing me of having consorted with the enemy. Can you believe that? Those teabaggers, huh? Anderson Cooper? With the laugh signs. Then he'll wheel out Harvey Weinstein, will claim it's anti-Semitism. Even though Obama's not Jewish, somehow for Weinstein will wheel out something to prove that it's really anti-Semitic to attack Obama. Article 99, misbehavior before the enemy, calls for death penalty, by the way. Did you know that? Why are they saying that death is off the table? It says any person subject to this chapter. Did he get an Article 99, Jim, or not? I don't know. Any person subject to this chapter who before or in the presence of the enemy, quote, runs away, bing, he did that. Two, abandons, surrenders, or delivers up any command unit, a place, or military property which it is his duty to defend. No, he left it in a neat pile. Casts away his arms or ammunition, he did that. Is guilty of cowardly conduct, he did that. Quits his place of duty to plunder or pillage, he didn't do that. Causes false alarms in any command unit or place under control of the armed forces, did not do that. So at least in four cases of the Article 99 that could have been brought against him, he could be punished by death or life in prison, as a court-martial may direct. Now, the only question is, again, which government jester's show is Obama's people now negotiating with to appear on either tonight or tomorrow to try and laugh this away, saying that Those nuts in the teabag movement are actually accusing me of being an incompetent commander-in-chief. Could you imagine? What I would say to them is, we never leave any man behind. Would those teabaggers want us to have left this man behind when we didn't really know he had abandoned his post? Why, I would have done anything for that poor young man. I had no way of knowing. Yeah. It would be laughable if it wasn't. All right. Move on. There's nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Helicopters lost, men killed. And the commander-in-chief, frankly, even if he did this by mistake, poor judgment, he's unfit for command. He's unfit for command, but you know it won't happen. Remember when Bill Clinton was dallying around in the White House one day after another? Monica Lewinsky, this one, that one, the sink. Remember all those tawdry stories? I had military guys call the show in the 90s and say, if I did a thing like that while I'm in uniform, I could be court-martialed. And they said, he's commander-in-chief. Why are they not court-martialing Bill Clinton? The answer is because some people are more equal than others in Animal Farm. And some people are, in fact, above the law. I know you don't believe that. But you can commit treason right in front of the American people and get away with it if you own the government media complex. And more particularly, if you own the stooges called government jesters, who everyone thinks are such genius comedians. Bill Nightmar, for example. I mean, without the HBO money behind him and the fake audience, what would he be? He'd be a screwball working in a bowling alley at night, trying to tell jokes. Or John Screwball Stewart. What would that guy be without the audience that they give him? Let him try radio 3 hours in a day. Let them both try an unscripted show for 3 minutes, let alone 3 hours. Let's see how good Bill Nightmar does or John Stewart. Let's see how well they do. That's all. I'm proud of what I do. And I do it better than anybody in the business, in my opinion. And that's the thing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. My judgment is correct. He misjudged. Let's not say he's a traitor. Let's not go there because it'll undermine your argument. They'll never accept it. The average middle-of-the-roader is afraid of that. They can't even conceive that a president could be working for the enemy. It'd be too harsh for them to accept it. So don't say that in your discussions. Just say he's unfit to command because he misjudged this. He traded 5 generals in prison, released them on the battlefield. They went back and set up ISIS, which is now raging around the world, in exchange for 1 deserter. You say, well, how did he know he was a deserter? His own men said he was a deserter. The men who were in the unit with him said he abandoned his post. That's how. So if a lowly private first class could know that, how come the commander-in-chief didn't? What, you're going to say he didn't have any direct link to these men? Okay, look, I'm giving you one man's opinion. It's my perspective. One of the reasons you listen to talk radio is the entertainment factor. Another reason, frankly, is the interpretation. On days like today, I'm giving you my interpretation. No entertainment. Yesterday was an entertaining show. I had my 21st anniversary in radio, which was a milestone for me. And for many of you, you enjoyed it a lot. I mean, we played some great clips, remember? And then we talked about so many wonderful things. I played my deceased mom's tape. That was quite amazing to me. Can't believe she's not here. Not that she listened anyway. But nevertheless, it'd be nice to know. She was. I used to say to her, Ma, did you hear my show? You know, I couldn't get it on the radio. She said, you can't get it on the radio. I'm on WFTL in Fort Lauderdale. It's 50,000 watts. You're in Boca Raton. I don't know. It doesn't come in clear. I'd say to relatives in New York when I was on, I'm on WABC. No, I don't get radio. We don't listen to radio. Well, what do you read? You get NPR? Idiots? Your grandfather landed on Ellis Island. You haven't moved a mile away from where your grandfather landed, mentally or physically. That's all. That's why I moved 6,000 miles away originally, to get away from them. Now I'm only 3,000 miles away, but I'm in their backyard if they want to hear it. I have one relative who listens to me. I haven't seen him in 5 years. Let's move to the callers now. I don't know what else to say about this. It's heartbreaking. Where is he? Golfing today? Where is he? Some kind of ceremony for some where is he? Where's Waldo today? Bergdahl charged with desertion, but where's Waldo? Where is Susan Rice? Where's Dianne Feinstein? Where's Hillary Clinton on this? They all want to be president. For that matter, wait a minute. Where's, what's his name? The guy with the weaselly eyes who everyone loves, who's not going to win. He already, he messed up in the starting gate. He was the first out of the race, and he messed up. He broke a leg in the start. It's awful what they did to him already. He cracked a leg. I don't remember his name. Cruz. Broke a leg in the starting gate. The gate went up, and he broke a front leg. Right away, even the lowest in the media, the dumbest in the media, says to him, you're going to go on Obamacare. Now, of course, that's a stupid question, but he should have been prepared for it. He wasn't ready. He didn't have a staff ready. It's not easy to do. You can't just go out there without a staff of hundreds of people who have all the potential questions that these vermin and these solenterates in the media are going to ask you. So he says, yeah, I'm going to go on Obamacare. He says, isn't that hypocrisy? No, I followed the law. That's a good answer, but it was over already. The leg broke. Snap. Front paw gone. No healing it. It's out of the race. They have to either put him on a farm or they shoot horses, don't they? I'm sorry. He's now glue on the Republicans. God, stop it. He's now in the Republican glue heap. That's God. And I like the guy's politics, but unelectable now at any speed. What a political structure. Why do we get the worst people running for office? And how is this possible? The only good one, let's say, guy in the first class of human beings is Ben Carson. Can't win. He's too good for the business. I don't even know who talked him into it. This guy is a pediatric neurosurgeon. He didn't get there through affirmative action, though, by reading Alinsky. Nobody becomes a pediatric neurosurgeon by faking it. You know what I'm saying? You can fake certain things. You can't fake pediatric neurosurgery. The guy's number one. They try to make him into a quack. He's 1,000 times better than most doctors. He can't win for a number of reasons. But nevertheless, he's the only one I look up to. And, you know, I don't know. The others, Rand Paul, forget about it. You need a phone book. He's going to need a phone book to debate Hillary. And he says, so why are you picking on his size? It matters. Size matters. I shouldn't have said it, but it's true. I'm giving you the flaws in advance. Nobody elects a short man to be president. Robert, I'm 100% right. I'm telling you. I happen to know it's true. They want a tall distinction, a figure that looks figure of distinction. Obama, for example, when he ran, he's a tall, thin young man, athletic looking, right? It didn't matter. He had weird ears like Alfred E. Newman. Didn't matter. People, oh, look at that young guy compared to Bumbler. Oh, yeah, we had a Bumbler. Look at this one. He's articulate. Wow. And a booming Kenyan voice. Me. We got to vote for him. Just to listen to that booming Kenyan voice, the women swooned. Chris, whatever his name is, felt a tingle run up his leg. They didn't know what to do. They were in love with the man. Tall, handsome guy. So he just shows you what looks are. I'm not saying that should be the... But it is. Looks, hair, tall. Rand Paul needs a phone book. End of that one. Cruz broke the leg on the way out of the starting gate. Bingo, that's number two. Who's left? God in heaven, don't tell me Jeb Bush. Please don't. Please, can he stay home? Why are they doing this to us? I was the first to say we don't need a dynasty. Remember? With either Bush or Clinton. I said it months ago. Well, so now we don't need a dynasty. Okay, great. I'm glad you listened to the show. I'm glad you're whatever. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give you ideas and make believe you got them from yourself. You know I need some music. And I heard the song come and go in my head. And I know what it is. Robert, look for this one. I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. It's an old song from the 1960s, I believe. Because I got chest pains from the Bergdahl story. It could be because between breaks I ate a veal cutlet sandwich in about 3 minutes with a piece of bread on you that you could choke a horse with. I'm developing a new ability to eat lunch during breaks. And in 3 minutes, 5 minutes, I can knock down 2 Chinese meals. But there's no bread involved. This was 2 huge pieces of Italian bread from the local Italian restaurant. I said, all right, no French fries today because I can't do that to myself. I got steamed vegetables. I said to the young man who works for me, I said, tell him to put a side of marinara sauce on the side to flavor the vegetables. I can't eat them like that. They gave me a container that tastes like nail polish. How do you make a marinara sauce that tastes like nail polish? I'll never understand. You dip your bread in it and say, this is impossible. Did they give me, like, paint by mistake? I mean, I've eaten there 100 times. This can't be a sauce from the restaurant. It must be a trick. I could die from it. Do we have time for a caller? You see, I'm trying to lighten it up now. I can't take it. No, I got chest pains. I'm breathing hard. I can feel it. I can feel my chest is closing up on me. I think I had a false heart attack last night in bed. Did you ever get one of those where you think you're dead? Say, oh, my God, this is it. Robert, you're too young for that, right? Or you had them. You do get them? Most males in America over the age of, let's say, 28, 29, have I call it cardioneurosis. We've been so brainwashed that if we get indigestion, we think we're done, right? Oh, my God, there it is. That's the big one. I haven't written a note to my mother, one of those. Jim is crazy. Every guy with children, the guy's driving, the poor guy's working, he's 35, he's got 2 children. in good shape, fit, run, vitamins, know this, know that, gluten-free, perfect diet. All of a sudden, he's driving, he feels a stitch in his side, and right away shoots across his brain, oh, my God, I'm going to die. The children, I didn't say goodbye. He doesn't know. It's nothing. It's a little indigestion. But we're all running right away to the cardiologist, electrocardiogram, put you on medication, put you on a specialized diet. I had it very bad in my 30s. Then by my 40s, I didn't care. By my 50s, I was looking forward to a heart attack. I'm joking. Stop. God, please strike that from the record. But now that I'm past that point, I mean, I don't really fear it anymore. I figure it's going to happen, and that's the end of it. What are you going to do about it? Either I'll survive or I won't. I know the cardiologist at the local hospital. He's my friend. He doesn't wear a turban, so that's okay. I don't want to go in with this. A turban guy comes out, doesn't speak English. That'd be my worst nightmare. The last person I see is a Taliban that they put into the hospital. No, he went to Cornell Medical School, I think. I don't know. He's a great guy. But what if they give you a stent and you're back on the air in 2 days today? Nothing. Not even a rest? We're like animals in a cage. Years ago, you had a heart attack. You had 6 weeks, 6 months to recover. My father closed the store. I had a cousin. Listen to this. He had asthma as a kid. He's still living. The uncle I loved. My uncle closed his business and moved the family to Florida for an entire half a year so his son could recover from asthma. That's what people did in those days. Now you're back with a heart attack. They put you back on the treadmill 2 days later. All right, you're ready to go. Take him out of the hospital bed. He's got a stent. He's got stitches in his neck. Bingo, they throw you out of the hospital. Wait till you see what it's going to be like with Obamacare. If they do that to you now, just wait till Obamacare comes. You'll have to not get a stent. You'll have to take a splinter out of a piece of wood and put it in your own heart. Okay, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. My friends, the world is a mess. Yemen has collapsed. The president has fled Yemen by boat as the ISIS and Al-Qaeda-affiliated rebels are taking over the, let us say, the heel of the Arabian Peninsula, thanks to your president. The Saudis are terrified. They're building up the forces on their border. Can you imagine if Saudi Arabia fell to them? Can you imagine what would happen in this world? And Obama has now driven Israel and Saudi Arabia and Egypt and Jordan together as a result of his duplicitous decisions, or his incompetent decisions. Let's leave it at that. And we read now that the Battle of Tikrit, in the Battle of Tikrit, Obama, someone just ordered airstrikes against ISIS. And I guess Tehran asked for them, and Obama followed their request. When the troops were asking for airstrikes to kill ISIS, he didn't do it. I guess Tehran demanded that in order to help their troops who are getting wiped out, by the way, by ISIS. Did you know that? The Iranian troops are getting killed by the ISIS troops. They can't beat them. So they went to the Air Force, not their own Iranian Air Force, but to the Hessian Air Force, the United States Hessian Air Force. Anyone know what a Hessian is? Raise your hand in the back of the theater. When I come back, yeah.
Join the Savage Nation. Most exciting radio talk show. The Savage Nation. Home of unprotected talk. Borders. Language. Culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I'm never surprised by controversies that are whipped up in Washington. We have a basic principle. We do not leave anybody wearing the American uniform behind. We had a prisoner of war whose health had deteriorated, and we were deeply concerned about, and we saw an opportunity, and we seized it. And I make no apologies for that.
No, you shouldn't make any apologies. You should be impeached for it. You should be charged with treason for it. No, it never happened. Come on. He was just trying to help a poor soldier. So that's what you're going to hear soon. That was not from today, by the way. Jim Verdi, who works for the Savage Nation, found it from last May, I believe, when Obama was somehow challenged on this issue of releasing Bergdahl and trading him for five Taliban generals who then went out to create ISIS. And he already has the cover story. He's got it all covered. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't break the law. He did it out of compassion for Bergdahl. That is wrong on every account. It's a lie on every account. The fact of the matter is his own platoon mates said he deserted. All evidence said he deserted. The people he released were too dangerous to ever be released. It would be like releasing Heinrich Himmler and Adolf Eichmann. Take like five of the top Nazis who had been captured at great risk. Think about the men who died capturing those Taliban to put them in Guantanamo. Have you added up the number of men who died in the quest to capture those five Taliban commanders? We don't even know their names. And they were released in exchange for this deserter. And Obama rushed to judgment, made a wrong judgment, and he exchanged them. Now, immediately, he's got an excuse already, which I just played for you from last year. The one who really has to go is Susan Rice. She said he served with honor and distinction. Obama's too clever for that. His speechwriters were too smart for that. But Susan Rice, as you well know, speaks from the saddle of her behind. Listen to what Susan Rice said about Bergdahl when he was released.
He served the United States with honor and distinction, and we'll have the opportunity eventually to learn what has transpired in the past years. But what's most important now is his health and well-being, that he have the opportunity to recover in peace and security and be reunited with his family.
How could this country survive? How I don't know how it goes on. It must have been such a great country that it can even survive treason from within. This country must have been really great to permit these rotgut, phony, backstabbing, anti-American, stumblebum frauds to get away with this. I know I'm not in a bar. I know I'm not an Irishman in an Irish bar after a day on a lathe. I know I'm speaking to hundreds of thousands of people every 15 minutes. But if I start to think about it, I'm standing in front of an audience, I'll start to sound like everyone else in radio. Ladies and gentlemen, please relax. This is the great Michael Savage speaking, and I can't give you that. You know, let others do it. If you like it, good luck to you. I'm glad.
Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that.
Let Fredo take care of it.
No.
I'm not saying anyone in particular. I'm just saying in general. I'm saying to you, you got every variety of talk show host you can imagine, and it's all good. It's a long day part. I can only do 3 hours. I can't do 13 hours in a row. I know you'd like to be on the air 24 hours a day, but here's the thing. I understand that, according to Drudge Report, Hollywood is trying to create digital actors. They're scanning bodies and archiving bodies, and they're actually going to dead actors to scan them to create digital actors. And I have an announcement to make on the Savage Nation. I am actually not real. I am not Michael Savage. There is no Michael Savage. I'm a digital talk show host. How would you know the difference? I'm never on Fox News. The chorus line doesn't let me on. Roger Ailes' chorus line doesn't print me on. They have a blacklist there, and I'm on it. So I'm not. You don't know if I'm real. I don't give speeches. I'm not like on the road like O'Reilly. I don't know how much money the man needs. How much money does a guy need? They're that hungry for a buck? They get a fill-in for Friday. They're on the road. They give a speech. They make $7,500 grand. They fly home. They fly there. They fly there. I don't understand it. How much money does a person need? What are they doing with it all? I woke up this morning. I looked at the Drudge Report on the right side. It said, President flees country as rebels advance. I said, thank God. I said, no, it's in Yemen. I'm sorry. For a minute, I had hope. I had hope for a minute. They fled by sea. I said, oh, really? Who were the rebels? The Tea Party was advancing on the White House? If you were Wolf Blitzer, you'd probably think the Tea Party's advancing on the White House. That's how psycho those guys are. All right, what do you want to talk about? Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, let me play the farthest thing about the language that he had trouble speaking again. Here's Dad Bergdahl.
I'd like to say to Bo right now, who's having trouble speaking English, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Zayabayem. I'm your father, Bo.
Yes, come out. All right. Yeah, why is he having trouble speaking English? Why did this brave young man who Obama reached out to save, what do you mean he had trouble speaking English? What was the language he grew up with? Arabic? He grew up speaking Arabic up in Sun Valley, Idaho? WABC Eric, what is that about the language?
Hi, Michael. I'm Eric from Concord, New Hampshire, listening online, and that's exactly the... When I saw that press conference last year, that's the first thing that stuck out to me, other than Obama's hand being on the small of his mother's back on the way out. But, yeah.
No, you mean Obama was touching the mother?
Yeah. Yeah, watch him when they walk out. He's got his hand on the... It almost looks like he's got his hand on her behind.
Oh, no, no, please stop. This is a family show.
I said behind. But when he made that comment...
No, I think he said no soldier left behind, not no soldier's mother left. Go on.
But that's the first thing that stuck...
What, you want to know why I couldn't speak English?
I have trouble. Did John McCain have trouble after being a POW? He's a little wacky, but I don't think he had trouble.
No, he didn't learn Vietnamese because he didn't become a traitor.
I have grown up with a lot of immigrants in my community. Some have been here 20, 30, 40 years. They can still speak their native tongue like they never left their country.
Yeah, why could? So you're saying was Bergdahl brainwashed? Is that what you're implying?
I'm not sure. I just thought it was odd and it stuck out to me.
It's sort of a little bit of the Manchurian candidate. But this country, I'm going to say this to you, this country's so psycho right now, so twisted, with so many enemies led into the country at such an alarming rate, that Bergdahl could probably run for office and win a congressional seat.
Boy, that's scary. And you're...
Bergdahl could be released and run as a Democrat in New York City and win a congressional seat, maybe even the Senate.
He's
certainly going to become president of Cornell University.
I totally agree with you. That's
the world we're living in. That's all. Let's move it on. Nothing to see here. WLOB Radio. Nick, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, how are you doing? It's an honor to be able to speak with you. I've read a couple of your books, Stop the Coming Civil War. I mean, that completely changed my whole perspective. And you're doing a great job. Keep up the good work. And you got a lot of good people out here listening to you and ready to make some changes however we can.
But Nick, where are you on LOB? What city are you in?
Right now, I'm in Maine.
Maine? You're allowed to receive the Savage Nation in that psycho state?
Yeah, we're way over here, like in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, you have a great patriotic senator, whatever her name is, that Susan Collins, a real gobbler that one is.
Yeah.
Well, what's with Susan Collins? Why do you people in Maine used to be like iron-ribbed patriotic Americans? What happened to Maine? Were they all moving from Boston?
Well, that's actually, I moved up here from Boston, and Susan Collins was on the TV yesterday. I can't remember what it was for, but she was actually opposing President Obama.
I'm not a big fan of Susan Collins. That's not my style of protection I'm looking for in a U.S. senator. But Maine strikes me as odd. Maine was always a rather independent, macho state. It seems to become an appendage of Massachusetts.
Yeah, well, it used to belong to Massachusetts.
What happened, Mike? The people have summer homes up there, and they've warped the politics in Maine. Is that it?
Yeah, it's pretty much. I mean, it's all like the area that I live in. It's all pretty much. It's right on the lake. Most of the people are retired.
You know, I once spent the summer a week or so at Tenants Harbor, Maine. You know where that is?
I don't.
Oh, it's amazing. I loved Maine. I could never live there today for 10 minutes. It'd be like psycho. Thank you. When I was young, I liked it. I went. I took a ferry over. I stayed there. I chopped wood. I smoked a pipe. I thought I was a real rustic American. Today, you couldn't get me on that island for $100,000 a week. I wouldn't go there. An island alone? I wouldn't know what to do. It's like a bad, spooky movie. I need a little activity around me, or the ability to get to it, like to drive into San Francisco if I'm not in there. Just know I'm there in 15 minutes, 20 minutes, just to see people, miserable people with green hair and nipple rings. I mean, excuse me, chop that off, Robert. You have to hit the button on that. Miserable people with brown. I love San Francisco. It's the people I can't stand. By and large, they're so mean and so brainwashed. How else would you wind up with Dianne Feinstein and Nancy Pelosi in power for 300 years? They've been in power since before George Washington was born. That's what you call democracy. Do you want to talk about this? Susan Rice, Barack Obama, Bergdahl, Obama saying no apologies. You play the no apologies again before we take a break. Go ahead.
I'm never surprised by controversies that are whipped up in Washington.
Whipped up.
We have a basic principle. We do not leave anybody wearing the American uniform behind.
Anybody goes into
a
new accent.
We had a prisoner of war whose health had
deteriorated. Why does he jump into another accent and get it? Why is he changing to other accents? God, this guy is good. He goes down. He gets down. You know, he changes his accent as he goes along. When he gets real sincere. He becomes like folk. So who's going to run now? As I said, Cruz broke a leg in the starting gate, finished. They kind of caught him out with the Obamacare thing. That's over. Rand Paul is still looking for a phone book for him to stand on. that won't look like a... I'm sorry. Look, I'm a sarcastic guy. You know, I mean, what do you think? I don't want one of the Republicans to win. Can you give me one that can win? Never mind how good their politics are. Give me one who can win. And that's it. Look what's going on here. Net neutrality. You forgot about that already. You forgot the plane went down over the Alps, right? No one remembers it. Yesterday's a big story. 8 minutes in the sky, no warning, no call, no one knows what happened, no why the skin flew off everyone's, splattered guts all over the Matterhorn, zero. The next day, forgot it already, gone. This is, what about the Emailgate? Tell me about Emailgate. Hillary with Emailgate, where's that? She already overcame it because of the government gestures? What'd she go on, John Screwball Stewart show and make a joke out of it? Bill Nightmare, she went on that and turned it into a laugh line that the Tea Party was after her. But she go on Al Jazeera for real news. She went on Black Entertainment Television and said that evil racists were after her. In her case, evil sexists. Is there an all-women's network? There's a Black Entertainment Television. Why isn't there a women's entertainment television? What's it called? Ellen DeGeneres? It's called WE? Yeah, I could have made a very lewd joke here because the BET and the WE don't match, but... You add a letter to that one, and suddenly it becomes a dirty joke. I can't do it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. I'm getting in a daze from the veal cutlet sandwich. I have a choice: either stop eating during the show and just be charged up and get sick, or eat and fall asleep. I don't. By the third hour, I come back out of it. I was so charged up, and I felt I was going to get like a stroke from it, from being hungry. Then I got a stroke from eating too fast. All right, let's take some calls on the Savage Nation. Bergdahl charged with desertion. I feel that Obama should be tried for malfeasance. You know, it's not going to happen. So at least question the fact that he's got bad judgment. You know, does the commander-in-chief, is he fit to be commander-in-chief? That would be a reasonable Senate hearing. All right, hear you. Let's have all of the questions put before the American people in a Senate hearing. Go back to Benghazi. Keep it simple. Go to Benghazi, move it forward. Why is he not using the Air Force against ISIS until today? Why did he let them metastasize until today? Why did he let Yemen fall? One thing after another. Why did he trade 5 Taliban generals for one measly private first class who had deserted? I'm sorry, ask a question. Okay, KOKC Radio. Sam, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Michael, I know there are a lot of mid-level commanders and JAG officers and all kinds of key points in the Pentagon, and a lot of them are female, and they've been placed there by this regime because they're at all these key points and make key decisions that have to do with political correctness and nothing to do with military tactics.
Absolutely 1,000% right. The Secretary of the Air Force, I've checked it out, has never flown an airplane.
Yep.
The Secretary of the Navy could not drive a rowboat. How is that possible?
Yep. Political.
I mean, unless you wanted to destroy the military, you would not make these decisions. You wouldn't put people like this. I don't care if they're female or transgendered, as long as they're patriotic and they're capable. But when you put people who are not patriotic in places, that's one thing. But when you put people who are not capable in places of importance, that's another thing, isn't it?
That's right. They're even in the special operations units. They're in there impacting key tactical decisions.
Well, is that why we can't beat ISIS, a ragtag army without a Navy or an Air Force?
Because we have a president that doesn't have the will to do any of that because he's Islamic himself, too.
Why do so many people say he's Islamic? Could it be that his middle name is a Muslim name?
His father is Islamic, and if you're an Islam, and you are what your father is.
That's right. Islam is of patrilineal descent, and the father's religion determines the religion of the son. He did go to a madrasas in Indonesia. Now, so far, did he convert to Christianity, as we're told?
In that church, they allow Islam to come in there in their church. They call it Chrislam. They don't make any distinction. Ishmael left. You know, he split off from the family, and they haven't been the same since. That's not. They're not.
They call it Chrislam. I never heard that. It's like, is it like Kristallnacht?
No, they're trying to mix Islam with Christianity.
I hope we don't wake up to broken glass around America and call it Chrislamnacht.
They're in key points everywhere, and they're.
So what do you think? I mean, look, let's be clear. You see them in key points everywhere. You see Muslim sympathizers, if not outright enemies, everywhere in the military. What do you think is going on here?
Our officers are trained. They're told in ramp up to get ready to deploy. They're told not to say Islam, not to say jihad. They're told not to go. You know, you can't go near a mosque. You can't do anything. They are taught in the training and the doctrine. All those words are erased out, just like for the FBI. Same thing.
So you can't say Nazi when you're going into a Nazi stronghold in Germany in the 1940s. Is that it?
If we had
the rules that Obama has put in place, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade today. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
If a staff isn't a terrorist movement, that means he has the brains to organize an army. Chief of Staff of Taliban. Okay, Mullah Nuryullah Nuri, senior Taliban military commander, who was also wanted by the UN for possible war crimes, including the murder of thousands of Shiite Muslims, a deputy minister of intelligence, etc. Big guys. The entire senior command of the Taliban were released for Bergdahl. What happened shortly after their release? Michael Savage will tell you. Don't expect to hear it from the chorus line. Do you remember the Bergdahl case? Do you remember we all suspected he was a deserter? Do you remember his own platoon mate said he was a deserter? Do you remember four men died trying to rescue him? Do you remember how Obama lauded him? Do you remember how Susan Rice lauded him? Do you remember the outrage at the time? Well, Bergdahl is now being charged with desertion. And the question today is, if Obama couldn't even get that right, what else is he getting wrong? How about the war against the Islamo-fascists raging around the world where he refuses to lift a finger? They could have been wiped out into Crete. He didn't use the U.S. Air Force. At the same time that he is diminishing the U.S. military, he is permitting the Islamo-fascists to rise. So explain to me, please, do you feel Obama has gutted the military on purpose? No, of course not. He's a loyal American. He loves America. He just knows how to do it the liberal way, which is the better way, which is the peacenik way. Are you sure of that? Are you sure you haven't watched the show Homeland sufficient to understand that occasionally along comes someone who has not the American interests at heart? Is that possible? Oh, no, you right-wing nuts. You have it all wrong. You're a bunch of racists. How dare you say that about the greatest American since George Washington? Well, let's go back to the Bergdahl fanfare, if you recall, and we'll start with Susan Rice, the most incompetent liar, well, I should say the most competent liar we have, lauding Bergdahl upon his release despite the protestations of his own platoon mates. Listen.
He served the United States with honor and distinction, and we'll have the opportunity eventually to learn what has transpired in the past years, but what's most important now
you ought to resign
is his
today,
health
you
and
being
that he have the opportunity
today.
To recover in peace and security and be reunited with his family.
You ought to be reunited with your cohorts, wherever they may be. Resign today, Susan Rice. But it gets worse. Do you remember Bergdahl's father with the big beard? We all suspected that he had converted to Islam, which unto itself is not a crime, of course. But combined with this combination deal, the combination plate of the allegedly deserter son, we suspected something was wrong. I mean, we do have common sense. We're not a bunch of morons who waited for the Messiah to arrive to give us the ability to think. We couldn't think until the genius arrived on the scene. We couldn't think. We couldn't even arrange flowers until Michelle Obama arrived in the outhouse there, the White House. I've never seen anything like this. How he gets away with it is beyond not you. It's not beyond me either. It's beyond comprehension. Any other president would have been impeached by now. This is an outrage. Yes, he got this wrong. Oh, it's just a mistake, Michael Savage. Any president can make a mistake, especially any president that is so Islamophilic as Barack Obama. That's a very big word. Islamophilia. Islamophilic. Never heard that one, have you? Didn't get that one in grade school, didn't get that one in high school, didn't get that one in college. We have a president who is bordering not on Islamophilia, but something much worse than that. Let us go now to the father on the announcement in the Rose Garden way back when.
I'd like to say to Bo right now, who's having trouble speaking English, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Zayabayim. I'm your father, Bo.
All right, that's the end of it. That should have done it. Bingo. Bingo. MPs arrest them all on the site. The minute he gave the Arabic statement, you know what he was doing. He was sending a coded message to the people who had brainwashed his son. The whole family should be investigated. What are you talking about? Are you that dumb? Yeah, of course you're that dumb. I forgot. I'm sorry. It's spring break. You're focused on Harvey Weinstein's latest violence project. You're focused on Sean Penn's latest violent movie. I don't know what you're focused on. I'm not focused on it. And so we now go to the king of all soundbites. Here is your commander-in-chief on the day he released this traitor. Listen.
His parents thought about him and prayed for him every single day, as did his sister Skye, who prayed for a safe return. He wasn't forgotten by his community in Idaho or the military, which rallied to support the Bergdahls through thick and thin. And he wasn't forgotten by his country, because the United States of America does not ever leave our men and women in uniform behind.
No, certainly when they're traitors, and if you're an Islamophilic, you don't leave them behind. You leave the others behind. You leave behind preachers who preach the gospel of Jesus. You stab them in the back by setting them up with gay sub-officers who engage them and entrap them, as is going on right now with a heroic Navy chaplain, an ex-Navy SEAL, who they wouldn't even permit to deliver services to a fallen comrade. That's how psychotic the military has become under this great commander-in-chief. Army charging Bo Bergdahl with desertion. The bigger question here is, how did they dare stand up to the most questionable commander-in-chief in American history? How is this possible? How did the U.S. Army manage to break ranks with this commander-in-chief of ours who had nothing but glowing words around the release of Bo Bergdahl? So I'm going to ask you again. You're in Michigan Stadium in Ann Arbor with 109,000 other people. Now triple that. That's the number of people listening to Michael Savage right now in America. And we don't know how many are listening around the world. Breaking news, Army charging Bo Bergdahl, glorified by Obama and Susan Rice, with desertion. The real question is, how did the military get the cojones to break away from this commander-in-chief of theirs? How did they find the ability to do this? I don't understand this. Obama purges anyone who stands up to him. He purges them. He throws them out of the military the way Stalin did. Well, Stalin shot them. Excuse me. Pardon me. Stalin shot his generals. Obama just smears them and throws them out. Now let's go back to Susan Rice and the date of his release. Listen carefully and tell me if I'm wrong when I say she must resign immediately. Listen.
He served the United States with honor and distinction, and we'll have the opportunity eventually to learn what has transpired in the past years. But what's most important now is his health and well-being, that he have the opportunity to recover in peace and security and be reunited with his family.
Now you know why we're losing the war on terror, the sorority. The sorority around Obama is the most duplicitous bunch of incompetent, lying, anti-American punks I've ever seen in my life. You understand what I'm saying to you? Do you have any idea how serious this is? Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand at the same time he's gutting the U.S. military, he's permitting the Islamo-fascist ISIS organization to rage across the Middle East, killing, murdering, raping, kidnapping with impunity? This is Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. It's a very dark day in American history. But the sun is shining. And so therefore we have the right to talk about this until things get even worse. And the, believe me, worse they will get under this most duplicitous regime the American world has ever experienced. You're listening to a Major League story. There are two elements that make it Major League. One, because it exonerates his teammates who said he was a deserter. They were attacked by the vermin in the media. That's number one. Number two, it shows you Susan Rice is unfit to be National Security Advisor and explains why ISIS is raging across the globe. Number three, it shows you Obama is unfit to be Commander-in-Chief and should be relieved of that duty immediately. Yeah, right. Live in a dream world. Go ahead. Live in a dream world. Your system really works well. He's being charged with desertion, but here's the bigger story. The officers who are doing this have sidestepped Obama, who is going to go berserk. He is going to seek retribution against these guys that will make his retribution against Netanyahu look like child's play. You know, this is, on one level, a laughing matter. On the other hand, it's now reached a saturation point where it's no longer a laughing matter. Because he released five of the most dangerous Taliban commanders in U.S. custody in exchange for this traitor. What happens soon thereafter? These commanders, who know how to run a military operation, they went and they organized ISIS into the killing force that it now is. Now, at the same time this is happening, Obama refuses to use the military, meaning the Air Force, against them. Why is that? Why won't he use the Air Force to take them out? They were surrounding, they were fighting in Tikrit last week or 2 weeks ago. And Obama had the capacity to order the Air Force to decimate them. They could have used cluster bombs. They could have used tank killers. They could have used a lot of different weaponry and wiped most of them out and make them flee. But he didn't do it. As a result, they drove the Iraqi army and the U.S. advisors out of Tikrit. So Obama, therefore, by not using the Air Force, has permitted them to metastasize. Again, if that is by accident, because he's either too timid or he's a liberal and doesn't want to use too much force, again, he should be struck from the command. What matters is what happened. What matters is he made the greatest mistake of any military commander could make. He erred on the side of the enemy, not on the side of truth. And therefore, he has committed a grave crime. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Well, as we come into the waning moments of hour number three on the Savage Nation, we're sitting here not scratching our heads, but astonished that once again, Barack Obama gets away with the impossible. Once again, we can't understand it. There's no outrage. There's no outrage. Susan Rice hasn't resigned. In the same government, she'd resign today. You know, but the big question here is who in the military had the nerve to override Obama, Susan Rice, and the sorority and bring these charges against Bergdahl? I can guarantee you that pressure was put upon them, pressure you could never guess, to find him innocent of all such charges as desertion. Because this certainly makes Obama look like what he is, and it certainly shows us who Susan Rice is. You get it? KSFO Radio. John, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi, Michael. Yeah, Major General Ken Dahl and General Mark Millay.
Well, are they the commanding officers in which area of the military?
Well, Major General Dahl investigated the case and did all the interviews. It was sent to General Mark Millay, head of U.S. Army Forces Command at Fort Bragg, and he reviewed the case. And I think he was the one who finally had to make the decision, I believe.
But, John, do you agree with me that Obama's going to hit he's going to go crazy over this?
Well, maybe he is, but maybe the military is finally saying enough is enough. And, you know, it's only the military that's going to help us get out of this at this point, don't you think?
We would hope so, but I think Obama's purged so many combat generals that we didn't even think we had any left who would stand up to him.
Well, that might be the case. Of course, the other thing might be that these generals are trying to get out from under a little bit, and maybe they'll give them a softer, end to this and not put them in jail, but who knows at this point.
Well, are you a military man?
No, I'm not. Well,
I am not either, but I would think that abandoning your post and joining the enemy should be punishable by the death by firing squad.
Well, it's about time we did some of this around this country to force the issue, but really, Michael, I'm hoping we can have a peaceful revolution in this country.
Well, that's what we're all hoping for. But Obama, I don't know whether he wants a peaceful civil war or what he wants. I have said in my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, that he has been conducting a civil war against this country from the day he took office. That's what he's been trying to do. Look at his track record, John.
Yes, that's right. And we got to work on it. Keep working on it, Michael. Thank you.
All right. You're saying there are two heroic generals who finally did the right thing, and I agree with you. Well, let's watch the media over the next night or two, and we'll see which government jesters show Obama and Susan Rice goes on to turn this into a laugh-a-thon and make anyone who dares raise the question of his incompetence into some racist. Will it be John Screwball Stewart's show? Will it be Bill Nightmare's show? Maybe he'll go on Al Jazeera and say that there's an evil right-wing element of the American government that's trying to make this humanitarian release of Bergdahl into something worse than that. Or you can go on women's educational television called NPR. You can go on BET, NPR. He's got a lot of options, doesn't he? Bergdahl charged with desertion is the main story. Now, again, let me close with, I think, my most significant analytic contribution for the day. It's not, not a brain science. Here's what I said. If you look at the commanders that Obama released in exchange for Bergdahl, they were not lowly Taliban. They were generals. They were like releasing the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and his number four people, and his number one, two, three, four people. And shortly after these five were released or exchanged for Bergdahl, the traitor, what happened? Boys and girls, follow the bouncing ball. What happened after Obama released these five major league terrorists from Gitmo for Bergdahl? Suddenly ISIS appeared on the stage and exploded and has now metastasized. You want to write a novel? You want to write a conspiracy novel? You want to write about a traitor within? Go ahead, be my guest. You've got all the elements here of a great mystery novel. Unfortunately, it's our country. Have a nice day.